Welcome back, everybody, to the Armor of God Catholic Radio Network. This is What Would Father Say here, Tom McNew and Father John Gesualdo. And we are continuing our conversation about demonology. And last week, we kind of gave a little a primer, a little bit of an introduction and the necessity behind why we're even broaching this subject. There is an element of trying to scare people straight, I guess, a little bit. But as we alluded to, it's more about knowing our enemy, knowing his tactics, so that we are better prepared, better armed, and can call upon the weapons that we have available to us to defend ourselves. So if you missed some or part of last week's episode, I encourage you to go pick it up on our website, armorgodradio.com, underneath the schedule tab. Okay, Father, we talked a little bit about Sun Tzu and knowing your enemy here and the necessity behind of studying demons. So I'll let you just kind of pick it up
So
here.
yeah, so let's I'd like we'll start off the way we did before. I was just thinking when I was in college, I was on the karate team. I wasn't very good. I got beat up all the time. I was not like in the, but they became my friends. And to this day, the main instructor is still friends of mine. He came up here to St. Luke when I was first started here and to say hello. So we became good friends.
That's cool.
And he did his fair share of putting welts on my face. But we would love to go train. We would work out. We would train. But if we ever had a tournament coming up, that's when we would train more intensely because we didn't want to get caught off guard. And we were never more in shape, never more sharp, never more loving it than when we were about to do a test or go to a tournament. But if there wasn't something, it was hard to be motivated sometimes, unless you, that's why I say in what keeps the kids motivated, hey, we have a game coming up. They're coming in here. Oh my gosh, we better get prepared. Well, to remind your listeners that we are in a spiritual battle and the enemy does not sleep. He does not sleep. And, back to our first, when I first started talking about when I think it's a pejorative to say, people say, I don't believe in organized religion. I'm spiritual, not religion. As if the spiritual world is not extremely legalistic. We have freedoms. They have rules, much more than we do. But to know that the evil one and his minions are very organized. They're very organized. And they're very obedient to each other. And the devil is a cruel master to them. But just like the hierarchy of angels, there's a hierarchy of demons. There are lower ones that are a little snitty and snooty, but every once in a while there's a one that the church has to tackle, like Asmodeus, Baal, Moloch. These demons we've been fighting for thousands of years. Asmodeus is the one that's in Tobit. He's
Oh,
the
that's
one, the
right.
demon that becomes obsessed with Sarah.
I knew I
And now,
recognized the name. I couldn't remember where, but yeah.
and then, and Raphael is there, and what does he do? Is he going to fight the demon, or does he give Tobiah the tools to battle this thing? You be the man. You do it. You can do it. So yeah, we ended last time by why does God allow these things to happen? These are the ultimate questions. Studying demonology helps us to answer those questions that are most directed at the foundations of Christianity. What is the greatest argument of the atheist? Why does God allow people to suffer? Why does God allow evil? Well, he does so that greater goods may come from it. Now, that isn't always consoling, but when it comes to demonic activity, like we said, God has the demons on a tight leash. They're only allowed to do certain things, but he does allow them. And the most clear example of this is the book of Job. It starts out with God noticing the devil. And God asks the devil, what have you been doing? And it gives us an insight into demons. Demons and the devil are not in hell. They're not in hell. They prowl around the world seeking the ruin of souls. They're here. And then he said that, what have you been doing? I've been prowling around the world looking for souls. And then God points out Job. Hey, do you see my servant Job? What a holy guy that is. And the demon says he's like that because he has everything. He's like that because you blessed him. You let me at him. I'll take his stuff and he will curse you. And what does God say? No, you can't touch him. Don't you stay away from him. No, he doesn't. He goes, okay, I put him in your, he is in your power, but do not kill him. Do not touch his body. And so what he does is he attacks him with what we would call oppression. He's oppressed. His external, his family, his work, his cattle, all of them are destroyed. His children, his life is totally taken from. That's where we get the thing, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be good. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So Job has everything taken from him by the evil one, and God allows it to happen. And what does it do? How does Job use it? He uses it to strengthen his spiritual muscles. How we act when we are persecuted. He stays a man of authenticity, a man of character. I will not curse God. I haven't done anything wrong. Why has this happened? I don't know. All I know is God is faithful and so will I be. So then God and the devil run into each other again. Hey, what are you doing? Doing the same thing. Hey, you notice my servant Job has not cursed me. He has not rebelled. He's not turned away, even though he took everything from him. Then the devil says, ah, it's because I couldn't touch his body. You let me throw boils at him and infest his body and skin. That's called vexation. That's another level of demonic activity, vexation. When now your very body is thrown into sickness and boils and rashes. God says, okay, go ahead. Do not kill him. Do not kill him. And even then, he is now, he's just curled up in a fetal position, wondering what happened. How did this happen to me? And now you know the story. All of his friends start to mock him, kick him while he's down. You know, you've done something wrong. I haven't done anything. Oh, yes, you have. You cursed God in some ways. You deserve this. It's like you're nothing more than to kick a man when he's down. But he perseveres, and it makes him more holy, more of a hero. He is blessed in the end, but he had to persevere through the oppression, the vexation, the infestation, the temptation. He is hit with everything, everything, and he always remains faithful. Now, this is just conjecture on my part. This conjecture on my part. He never knew the devil was doing this to him. But if he would have, you know, the devil might have said, hey, you let me come in, I will give you everything. I will give you all that the world has to offer. Just bow down to me. And if you're covered in sores and have lost everything, your whole family, your wife, your children, everything taken away from you, there'd be a temptation. All you want is relief. That's what the demon one does. Once he pulls people farther and farther into his spell, he offers relief if you just give him one more right, if you just give him one more deeper relationship. So God uses even our own hardships, even our own hardships. You might find yourself alone. You might be attacked, oppressed, bullied by the devil. Why does God allow this? Hey, well, he wants you to strengthen your spiritual muscles. Jesus taught us this on the cross. Everything that happened to him, I heard a theologian say what happened on Good Friday was a symphony of sin. Everything the devil had, well, he was allowed to throw at Jesus. And he wanted Jesus just to give up. Just, you know, to say to the all the Romans and priests wanted him to do was just recant. Just stop saying that. He could have done it, I guess. I don't know. These are all conjecture. But we find out what we're made of under oppression, obsession, harassment. We find out what we're made of and a chance to grow in holiness. So those are sort of the overarching mysteries of why demons, where they came from, why God uses them, what and why God allows it to happen, and our battles with them. Now, we haven't even got the weapons we have in reply, which are many, which are many. Anything so far, Tom, that you want to talk about? Because then we'll
Yeah,
get
no,
into
I
things.
just I think again that's for those of our listeners that missed part one and you missed your homework, you can still have an opportunity to go back and read the book of Job. I think it is again, it's a very critical piece of our Catholic faith. And I think the one thing that us as the laity should always draw from the book of Job is that the Lord is with us even when we think we have hit rock bottom, when the devil has taken everything from us, and the devil has forced our family and our friends to mock us and to align against us, and he's covered us in sores. The Lord is there. The Lord is just waiting for us to continue to acknowledge him and continue to serve him and rejoice in
Pick up your
his deliverance.
cross and follow.
Amen.
Bring Christ into it. A lot of the songs that came out in the 70s and 80s, you remember those. You're kind of a
Yeah.
boomer Catholic.
I'm not a boomer. I'm not a
You're a Gen
boomer. I'm
X?
a Gen Xer.
Just barely. Come on.
I was
What are
born
you,
in
50?
67. I was born
Okay.
in
Yeah, you're
67. I'm not
barely a
even
Gen
60.
Xer.
I'm not even 60 years old yet.
Yeah. Anyway, but one of the songs, we sang it this morning, one of the songs that came out then, I think the lyrics are very good. Be not afraid. There's a second verse that answers a lot of it. When you stand before the power of hell and death is at your side, God will take it from you. No, it's not what whoever wrote that, it was some Jesuit. If you stand before the power of hell and death is at your side, I am with you through it all. I'm here. You can do this. It's gonna be hard. Come on, don't give up. Punch back. I've given you weapons. Given you weapons, the sacraments, prayer, the Eucharist, our Blessed Mother, a community. Don't believe the lies of the evil one who says you're bad, you're just like me, you deserve it. Don't go off into your own corner, don't give in to drugs, sex, alcohol, and then he's got you more. Oh my gosh, chains. He wants to chain you in things of this world. So yeah, these are. It gives us an insight into the mind of God, and it's also consistent with our, what do we say? Our always consistent with our experience. When I was playing soccer in high school, all the years I played soccer, every year we had about an average team. Every year we one year we were pretty good, but every year our coach would schedule a game against a huge school that were like state contenders, Alamo Heights or Westlake. He would always ask, why do you make us play these guys? Because, well, if I'm you're going to get better, you need to play a team that's better than you. And man, I remember we played Alamo Heights in 1987. They beat us 11 to nothing at our place. I'd never been humiliated in my life. The next time we played them, we went to their place and they beat us 5 to nothing. So we're getting better. But we were so happy. And then they went off to win state championship that same year. It's like, wow, guys, we played them twice. And we got better and better and better, but
Challenged, yeah.
only after we were challenged and we were beat up, did we rise and keep moving. We became better men, not just better players, better men. So in his own way, God uses the demons. And the demons always overplay their hands as long as we stay faithful and don't give in to their lies. And even if something's in full possession, if someone's actually, which is very rare, once or twice in a big city, two, three, may say two, three times in every big city. But what happens is usually they cannot reach out to us. If someone comes to me, comes to my office or comes to the church and says, Father, I think I'm possessed, I go ahead and tell them, no, you're not. No, you're not. You can't be. If you were totally possessed, that means that the demon has a total control over your body and mind. You can't even come to church. You couldn't even approach us. So a few things I say to your listeners. The most that they're probably acquainted with is those movies called The Exorcist. The one that came out in the 70s. Most people used to say, well, that's just Hollywood. There's a lot about that story that may be right. Now, Exorcist 2 is stupid. Exorcist 3 is pretty entertaining. The one that just came out is just plain dumb. But if they're interested, there's a documentary that's been put out. It's out there somewhere. It's called The Exorcism of Dolan. No. Dolan Rowe. That's the guy's real name. He was a
Okay.
man. It skips
Not
my mind
familiar
right
with this.
now.
Okay.
And it was a boy, and he was supposedly Lutheran.
Okay.
And that was in the 1960s. So there have been several rites of exorcism. The one that they use, there was a fish. There was always kind of these, for, through the Middle Ages, there was always just using the sacraments and prayers of deliverance, and priests would do use the sacraments mainly. But it was not till 1614 that they came out with a rite of exorcism in Latin. And that's what was available in the 1960s that they used with Roland Doe. That's his name, Roland Doe.
Okay.
And since it was all in Latin. But just looking at that, and there's a documentary called The Exorcism of Roland Doe. It's fascinating about that particular case. But then in 1998, they redid the rite. So there's two rites now.
Okay.
Also to remind people that in the sacrament of baptism, there is a minor exorcism that we do on babies. Minor, it's not a major one. Anybody can do it, but it's a minor exorcism we do when we anoint their chest. And we don't omit that, or we shouldn't. In case there's some kind of demonic activity, we now it's a sign of strength that we anoint their chest with holy oil as a defense. But what most people see on TV and they hear about exorcism, that's the solemn rite of exorcism. Only a priest can be an exorcist, and only an exorcist can perform exorcisms. Because if any of us do it without the proper training, it puts us in danger. People should not try to be exorcists because they don't know what they're doing. You step in with Mike Tyson, he will beat you. You step in the ring, knows you bring the full power and authority of the church. An exorcist who is a priest, he has the full power and backing of the church. You need that if you're going to go toe to toe with Moloch or
Yeah.
Baal. He hopes you come without those things. He hopes that you're just someone, an amateur, because he will draw you in. He will beat you up. He'll take your faith from you. He will mock you. One of the rules that many exorcists will say that they're allowed, that demons have, is if you walk into an exorcism and you haven't gone to confession, there's a good chance he sees your sin. He's allowed to do that. And he'll announce it to the whole room. So
Wow.
when I was in seminary, they used to do exorcisms at our seminary at midnight. And they did it at midnight
Wow.
because it was creepy, because no, this is, we didn't have an audience. But they would ask other guys that you want to participate, because they needed some people to kind of for security. But I remember there was this one priest that said, "I ain't going in there. I don't need that thing telling the whole world my sins. I ain't going in there." Because you have to, because here's interesting what we learned from the deliverance community, which I always think is, again, it teaches us to be better Christians and better Catholics. When there is a case of demonic possession, the priest has to call there's an intake that we do, and they do an investigation. If after doctors and psychologists and all of that, it is determined that an exorcism can be performed, the exorcist is notified. And then at that moment, he tells his team, his deliverance community, "Hey, we have an exorcism scheduled for next Saturday at 7 o'clock, you know, so and so." Immediately, his whole team will go to confession. They'll go to confession and they will fast for a week just and go to mass every day. What are they doing? What are they doing? They're training. They're training. They're making sure they're in the right head and soul space. I mean, they go into a mini Lent. Go to confession, fast and pray. Go to communion, fast, because you're about to go toe to toe with a demonic infestation, and he is fully prepared. He knows all about you, and he's not going to fight to give up. He's not going to give up his demoniac so easily. So even the exorcist walks in with a team of people who've been praying for a week and fasting for a week. That means if you've been praying and fasting for a week, and frequenting the Eucharist, you're at a whole spiritual level, whole other spiritual level. And so what they do is they just sit there, they surround the demoniac, they have the rosaries, and they're praying, saying the Litany of Saints, the rosary, because that aggravates the demon. That aggravates the demon. It draws him
Mm-hmm.
out, draws him out. And so even looking at that, even looking at that, we're grateful that we are Catholic. Wow, because we can go to confession, fast and pray and receive the Eucharist. We should be doing that anyway. If you want to fight this woman that I met with who's having a few issues, first thing I asked her, are you baptized? Well, she wasn't sure.
I don't know.
I can't do much. You're not a Christian. First, well, I may have been Catholic, but I don't think I was baptized. I was baptized Mormon. Huh, I'm not sure that works. Because that's the what interesting. Now, I don't know if this is what's come out of, they made the documentary on the exorcism of Roland Doe. Now we have some of the brothers made daily diary intakes about what happened. This thing took months and months and months. So one of the things that I caught that I thought was significant was the priest, because the family was Lutheran. The family was Lutheran. The priest assumed that they had had him baptized. Lutherans baptize babies, right? Yeah, they baptize babies. He's assumed. So months in, the priest just said, he had been fasting. He lost like 30 pounds. They were exhausted, making no headway. So the guy said, the priest said, why don't we just baptize him in the Catholic way? Maybe that'll help. He went nuts. They
He
baptized him, the demoniac, Roland
Oh,
Doe went
okay.
nuts, was beat them all up, cut them.
Wow.
And they're thinking, we were killing ourselves. I guess he wasn't
Never
baptized.
baptized.
If he was never baptized, no wonder none of this works. No wonder none of this has been. They've been killing themselves, and they did baptize him. They baptized him. He took authority over them. The parents consented, and they baptized him in the name of the Father and the Son. Well, he actually beat up half the priest in the room. The priest got stitches because of the bed frame. I mean, they go through that whole issue. It's like that kid was never baptized. They just assumed he was. And from that point on, they were able to make some headway. They were able to make some headways, but they had to find
That's
out,
fascinating.
do various. He had been messing with Ouija boards. He had been talking to spirits. And since he was not baptized, was probably not baptized. If they did, they probably did it wrong. But one thing did happen. I know we haven't even got to the first thing yet, the temptation,
Go
infestation.
ahead. Go ahead. We'll get there. We'll get
The
there.
Lutheran, what this came out in the movie The Exorcist, and the family testified that this did happen. It actually came out in the movie. Well, they're Lutheran. They called their Lutheran pastor. And the pastor came over and he said, this is above my pay grade. You need to get a real priest in here. This is above my pay grade. You need to get a priest in there. So since
There's
it took place in Georgetown, Washington, in Georgetown, there's Georgetown University is a Jesuit university. They approached Jesuit University. And there was a young priest there who decided to help him. And so even that lets us know that, hey, do you want the full meal deal or not, people? Do you want, even that Lutheran pastor said, you need to get a real priest for this. This is above my pay grade. So they should give thanks and pray. Eve, like I said, the devil always overplays his hand whenever he enters a situation. People start discovering, wow, if the devil is real, God must be real. If saying Jesus' name or saints agitates this, they must be real. What's this rosary thing going on here? And now when they do an exorcism, the priest brings out the big gun. He exposes the Blessed Sacrament, surrounds it. Now, but it is exhausting for the demoniac. It is
I'm sure.
exhausting. They have to take a break. It's kind of like, again, cancer. When someone goes in for cancer treatment, they go under whatever they do, chemo and radiation. Isn't that just exhausting on the patient? It's exhausting, but it's like, we have to do this. I know this is going to hurt. I know it's going to be uncomfortable. We got to get it rid of this cancer. Same thing with exorcism.
You got to do it over and over again.
And sometimes you have to keep going back, and this is going to be hard. I know you're exhausted. And at some point, they let it in, like a cancer patient, not all. Sometimes I'm not an oncologist, but I've visited, people with diabetes and heart disease. You've been living pretty hard, haven't you? You smoking and drinking your whole life. Yeah, eating junk food your whole life. Well,
So,
Consequences, there are consequences. Maybe we should start fasting and praying. I have a thing for sweets. I haven't eaten today yet. That is Friday. And doesn't mean I don't think about it. Doesn't think I drove past that Shipley's twice today, Tom. And the Dunkin' Donuts. And here in Temple, the Dunkin' Donuts and the Baskin Robbins are in the same building. How evil is
Yeah,
that?
and they're next door to the Whataburger.
It's terrible. It's terrible.
It's
Talk
the
about
trifecta.
cocaine. I mean,
Well,
and what
Father,
that does. Anyway,
we're gonna
we need
here
to stop.
we wound it. We got to the end of an episode, and
Okay.
we still haven't got to what I really wanted to get to,
The
which
levels.
is to the different levels. So
Yeah.
we'll have to
So
pick that up
we'll try to
next
get the
week.
first three next time. Okay.
Because there are, nine different levels of demonic activity, and Father has alluded to several of them
Yeah.
throughout the course of this episode and next week, and we'll lay all that out.
Okay.
And again, if you missed last week's episode, you can always pick it back up on our website, armorofgodradio.com. If you missed part of today's episode, again, we'll rebroadcast that on Sunday afternoon at 12:30 as well. So
Just remind your readers, I'm not an exorcist. I'm a demonologist in training.
that's right. I love that. I love that phrase. We're all demonologists in training,
That's right.
and we should all follow Sun Tzu and know
I
our
got all
enemy.
I have is my purple belt, and the rest
That's
of you are
right.
yellow belts right now.
That's right. That's right. Father, would you please leave us with a blessing?
All glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. World without end. Amen. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. All right, folks. We'll see you next week where we will get into our different types of demonic activity and the nine different layers and levels, and we'll lay all that hierarchy out as we've alluded to here. And folks, have a great weekend, and remember to put on the armor of God.